This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Parshas Bahalosecha. This week's Parsha, I'd like to share with you four very beautiful ideas on this week's Parsha. The first idea is from the very first Pasuk, second Pasuk of this week's Parsha. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar. On the sheet is the first box in front of you. If you're listening online, please do email me at j.goldker@gmail.com. And I'll happily send you the handout. Daber el Aharon v'amar tzoylov. Aaron HaKohen is instructed to light the menorah. And the words used, Bahalosecha, is actually very strange. You would have thought the natural word to use is not Bahalosecha, which means to make rise, but you'd use the word Lahadlik. Isn't that the normal use of the word? Hadlokas Neiros on Shabbos. Why Bahalosecha? Rashi says, Al Shem Shahalahav, because the Shalheves, the flame goes up, Kosu Badla Kosu, Loshan Aliyah, Bahalosecha, Shesorech Lahavlik Ashate Shalheves, Oile Mele, until the flame goes up by itself. But surely you would use the word Bahadlok, Bahadli Koscha, and in fact the Sedra should be called that. Interestingly, the Targum translates the word Bahalosecha Esaneris, Bahadli Koscha, using the word hadlaka. Why change the word to make go up? So Rashi says, Sorech lahadlik ashatei shalheves olemeleh, the famous Rashi, you've got to kindle the light until the light burns beautifully and brightly on its own. What is the message? So I saw last year, Rabbi Sassana sent an email to the community, and he said a very beautiful idea. Rabbi Sassana said, the Gemara in Shabbos says, why does the pasuk say michutz leparoches va'edus, that the menorah is stationed michutz leparoches va'edus, just outside of the paroches, i.e., in the kodesh? What is its function? Says the Gemara in Shabbos Chof Beis Amud Beis, ele edus hi leboy olam. It is testimony. Shehashchina shor b'Yisrael. The menorah, the lit menorah, is edus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina dwells amongst Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Shabbos, Peites on the base, tells us that since Matan Torah, since Har Sinai, the entire world has been watching us to see if we live up to our national mission, which shows that the Shechina dwells amongst Klal Yisrael. And says Rabbi Bixenspanna that maybe this is what Rashi means. Maybe Rashi is saying that your job, Klal Yisrael, is to make a Kiddush Hashem and to show the rest of the world that the Shechina dwells amongst us, that we are an Ur Lagoyim, and we have a heightened role to live up to. And therefore, it's not enough to just light the candle. We have to make sure that the candle burns brightly, strongly, and beautifully, because our role is that, the Mekadeshim Shemayim, and to do so in the most beautiful fashion. Where my father, Zichron Livracha, this is going back a few years, I was once sitting with him, I think I was driving at the time, and he said to me, do you remember what Rabbi Shimon Weingarten said at your graduation? And I must be honest, I'd forgotten. This is going back a long time. I graduated from Hasmonea when I was in my late teens. And he said to me, I'll tell you what he said. He said that our job in this world is to make a Kiddush Hashem. And don't think that making a Kiddush Hashem applies only, you know, when you're doing religious things or whatever it may be. But it applies 24/7. And the example he gave is when you're driving. You could be driving down Golders Green Road or wherever you happen to be driving. You, of course, have to drive legally and carefully. But it's also important, he said, to drive graciously and with consideration, to let other people go, not to cut in. Why? Because we are an ambassador of our people, whether we like it or not. We are judged and we represent our whole people. And therefore, it's incumbent upon us to make a Kiddush Hashem. And his injunction to us at our graduation was that to make a Kiddush Hashem in all situations when we're driving or doing whatever we're doing. I forget why my father told me that. I hope it wasn't my driving that caused him to remember it. But the point is that this is really what Rashi is saying. When Rashi is saying, Ad Shalheves Oile Me'eleho, it's instructing us perhaps that the instruction to Aaron HaKohen is not just to light the candle, but to make sure it burns beautifully and strongly, because after all, that represents, it's a simon, it's a sign for the rest of the world that we're living up to our, the high standards that are demanded of us to demonstrate that the Shekhinah dwells amongst us. Okay, let's move on. The pasuk continues. Pasuk Gimel and Dalet Vayas Ken Aaron Amupni HaMenorah. He went ahead and he lit the menorah. Pasuk Dalet Vezeh Maisa HaMenorah Mikshazav. And then it describes how the menorah is made. It's made out of one block. But the word Vezeh troubles Rashi. You don't need the word Vezeh. It could have just said Umaisa HaMenorah Mikshazav Adirecho, etc., etc. You make it out of one chunk of metal and you carve away until you have the menorah, rather than you have a sort of central shaft. And then you add pieces to it. But why couldn't it have just said Umaisa HaMenorah? Why Vezeh Maisa HaMenorah? Says Rashi, Vezeh Maisa HaMenorah, Sheherev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'etzva. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, pointed at the menorah, because Moshe Rabbeinu struggled to understand what exactly the menorah was. The Fisha Niskashebo, he found it difficult. L'kach Nema Vezeh. And indeed, the Gemara in Menachos tells us, in Menachos Choftes HaMedalev, there were three things that Moshe found difficult. It wasn't just the menorah. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and showed him, as it were, with his finger. For Elohim, these are the three things. Menorah, for Rosh Chodesh, for Shrotzim. Each one of these three are complicated. The menorah to figure out exactly how it stands, Yerecha, Pircha, etc., etc., where to put the flowers, the knobs, and how to position it, and how to construct it. It's complicated. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show sort of an illustration, as it were, of what the menorah looked like. So too with Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is very complicated. The positions of the moon and all those sort of things, complicated. It had to say Zeh, and therefore the Gemara says, Menorah d'chsiv v'zeh ma'isa menorah. Rosh Chodesh d'chsiv ha'chodesh ha'zeh lochem, Rosh Chodoshim, and Shrotzim. That all the details of those shrotzim which are listed regarding tum and tahara, regarding kashrus, ze lochem ha-tomei. These animals are tomei for you. Ze again pointing as it were. Now there's a very interesting vort. The three things the Moshe Rabbeinu found difficult. What are they? Menorah, shrotzim, and hachodesh. How interesting, because the first letters of each of these three words, menorah, shrotzim, and hachodesh, spell, of course, Moshe. Mem is Menorah, Shin is Shrotzim, He is HaChodesh. And more than that, the last letters of these three words, Menorah is He, Shrotzim is Mem, and Chodesh is Shin, also spell Moshe. What do you see? You see from here that how a person deals with his struggles really defines who that person is. In other words, Moshe himself, he is his struggle. Menorah, Shrotzim, HaChodesh, those things that he was challenged and found difficult and struggled and battled with, that defines who you are. And I think that is a vort we once said some time ago, an amazing insight of Rav Mordechai Gifter. An amazing insight. The Mishnah says in Kalim that Kol Shebayam Tohar Chutz Mikelef Hamayim. All animals of the sea are Tohar, apart from one. What does that mean? If you were to make a Kalim, you were to make an item of clothing or a bag or something out of the skin of any sea creature, then it's tohar. Chutz mikelev hamayim, apart from the sea dog, people translate it as a sea otter, which mikleishel bereach liabosha, because it can escape from the water and it would go to dry land, so then it has the status of a dry land creature, and therefore it in fact does not have the status of an animal of the yam, and it has the status of a seed creature, and therefore it will become tomei. Now, let me ask you a question. This kelev hayam, this sea otter, it spends 99% of its time in the water. When it's chased and it's under duress and it has to run and get out of the water because a bigger animal is swimming after it, and it escapes from the sea and it goes on to dry land, just because of that, you give it a status of the dry land creature? Surely the vast majority of its time, it's in the water. Why does the fact that on the very rare occasions it will go onto dry land, will that change its status and actually dictate that it's got a din of a land creature? Says Rav Gifter, beautiful. Because its true definition, the real definition of this animal, is how it behaves under duress. That is a better indicator of who this animal is. Even though it might be 1%, 10% of the time, nonetheless, since it escapes from the water under duress, that is what dictates its status. Amazing. And to add to that, and I've mentioned this before, an amazing idea. They quote different people, of Shlomo Eger and others, but a beautiful idea. In Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov Avinu is battling with the Malach of Esav, and he changes his name from Yaakov to Israel, and the Pasuk says, Vayomino Yaakov, Yeomer Oishin Chakim Yisrael, he saw Risa and him and Anoshim Batuchal, because you've battled with angels and with people and you have overcome them. We therefore change Yaakov's name to Yisrael. But surely the key thing is Kiso, because Yisrael is a derivative of the word Kiso Riso, because you battled, you struggled with Elohim, with Anoshim, with people and with angels, and you overcame them. But isn't the Ikka, isn't the central point Batuchal, and you overcame them? Why call them Yisrael? We should be called, you know, some derivative of Batuchal, Batuchalites or something. Why are we called Bnei Yisrael? The Teretz is exactly the same, because the Ikka is the struggle. The result, in a way, is irrelevant. The focus is the struggle, because that is a better definition of who we are. So there we have it, a fascinating and very important insight that Moshe Rabbeinu found the menorah difficult in this week's parasha. And it wasn't just the menorah, it was the Shrotzim and Hachodesh, and those are the three things, if you like, which make up Moshe Rabbeinu's name: menorah, Shrotzim, and Hachodesh. And the status of the sea otter, where, you know, where we run to under duress, is a better definition of who we are. Okay, let's press on. Also in this week's parasha is Pesach Sheni. Let's take a look at paragraph number 3, Perek Tes Pasuk Hei. Vayasu es haPesach Barishon Vaharboso Yom LaChodesh. Klal Yisrael, they kept Pesach in the month of Nisan. Kechol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe kein osu b'nei Yisrael. Continues the pasuk, next pasuk. Vayhi anoshim, there were people asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam. They were tamei first Pesach. V'lo yochlu la'as es haPesach b'yemahu. Vayikrvu lifnei Moshe v'lifnei Aaron b'yemahu. They therefore approached Moshe and Aaron, pasuk zayin, v'yomru, and they said to them, anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam. Loma nigora levilti hakriv. They were unable to participate in the Pesach at the proper time, the first Pesach in Nisan, and they wanted, why should they be left out? Why should they be shortchanged just because they were Tomei? The question I saw, a very interesting question, is why Pesach? I mean, why is it that Dafka Pesach gets the second chance? What about Shavuos? What if you were Tomei at Shavuos? What about Sukkos? What about Rosh Hashanah and Kippur? Why is it Dafka? There's only a Pesach Sheni. We don't have a Sukkah Sheni, a Shavuot Sheni, a Yom Kippur Sheni, a Rosh Hashanah Sheni. Why is it Dafka Pesach? Interesting question. So one answer, perhaps on a very simplistic level, is, well, Pesach is easy to miss. How so? Well, to be makriv of the Korban Pesach, you have to be in the area of the Beis HaMikdash. You've got to be in Har HaBayis to bring your Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach. If a person was, you know, was just out of town, or he was Tomei, or whatever it may be, he would technically be unable to do it. Masha'en came. If you were out of town and it was Rosh Hashanah, so you'd blow shofar wherever you are. You were out of town, you were in Timbuktu, and you needed, it was Sukkot time, so you'd get hold of a lulav and esrog wherever you are. Masha'en came Pesach, you have to be in the Har HaBayis, you have to be local to the Beis HaMikdash to be makir of the Korban Pesach, and therefore it's easier to miss. That's one answer. I saw a second answer in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, a very, very interesting answer. Chazal tell us that, it's Pasuk in Yecheskel really, that Pesach represents the birth of Klal Yisrael. In fact, Rabbi Hartman, a wonderful colleague, he when he goes after Yontov davening on the first night of Pesach, when he walks home, instead of wishing everyone good Yom Tov, he says, he'll put his hand out and say, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. And he'll greet all the people on the way. Why? Because this is the birth of Klal Yisrael. In fact, he once told me that he did that and people just, you know, either they didn't hear it and they just said good Yom Tov back, or whatever, they just, you know, just shrugged their shoulders. One time he said, happy birthday, as normal. And the fellow looked at him and said, how did you know? How did you know? So he obviously struck lucky. But it's our birth. Pesach represents our birth. Now, sometimes we miss things in life. You know, you can miss a bus, you can miss a train, you can even miss a flight. A few weeks ago, someone I know, they missed their exam. They whatever reason, I don't know how it happened, they missed their exam. There are some, we miss things in life. But it's if you miss your birth, that's pretty bad news. If you miss your birth, that's tricky. Says Lubavitch Rebbe, an amazing insight. Missing something as fundamental as a birth, even that, it's never too late to correct. You can always correct even the most major of deficiencies. And that's what Pesach Sheni represents. It's never too late. Even something as central as the very birth of the nation, you've missed that, you think you've missed the boat? Don't worry. Because even something as major and as fundamental as our very birth, our very creation, it's never too late to correct deficiencies. And therefore, Dafka, that message is taught in the context of Pesach more than other Yom Tov. Very beautiful insight. Okay, let's finish with one idea, also a very interesting idea. Later in the parasha, in Perek Yud Beis, the Pasuk says, "Vatadaber Miriam ba'aron b'Moshe al Odes o'isha kushis hasher lokach." Miriam Hanaviah speaks Lashon Hara about Moshe. She speaks to Aaron. And again, she was Nischav, as Rashi tells us, L'shem Shemayim. She intended good. Vayoyme Hashem pitoim el Moshe vel Aaron vel Miriam. And all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, suddenly, pitoim, tu shloshtechem el Omoyed vayetzu shloshtam. All three of you come to the Omoyed. And the trouble is, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to come because he was Toho, but Aaron and Miriam were not. Says Rashi, Pitoim, Nigra Aleim Pitoim, he revealed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to them suddenly, V'heim Tmeim B'derech Eretz. Miriam and Aaron were both Tomei. V'hoyu Tzakim Mayim Mayim, they were screaming, we need water, we need to go to the mikvah. L'hodiyom She'yofa Osa Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was indicating that Moshe had acted correctly, She'pirish Min Ha'isha, that he had separated from his wife, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu could appear to him at any time, and therefore he had to be ever ready. Good, pitaim. Now, apropos to that, this concept of pitaim, of being ever ready, I'd like to share with you an amazing piece that the Chofetz Chaim wrote in his Sefer Tzipisa Yeshua in Perek Gimel. Chofetz Chaim, as you know, of course, wrote many things. He wrote his two most famous works, of course, the Mishnah Berurah, and his Hilchos Lashon Hara, Sefer Chofetz Chaim. But the Chofetz Chaim was prolific. He wrote many, many things, mostly to address, largely only to address the needs of Klal Yisrael, Machane Yisrael, Zecher Miriam, Avas Chesed, whatever it may be. But he wrote a Sefer called Tzipisa Yeshua about anticipating the Gula. And let me share with you this idea, which I think relates to what I just said about Vayoma Hashem Pitoim El Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared suddenly. Let's take a look. It's a short extract, which I've taken out the sort of the central parts. Valkein, yipole ma'od. One can wonder, eich anu omrim gimel pa'am b'chol yoyim. How is it that we can say three times a day, oleinu, after shacharis, after mincha, and after ma'ariv, u'masayimim alkein nekave lecho Hashem lekenu lirois meheira b'tiferes uzecha. We say, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we hope, we pray that we will see the splendor of your might. If we genuinely wanted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would suddenly appear, what would happen if Mashiach came now? You would have to be suddenly ready to do the Avodah. The Beit HaMikdash would be there. All the halachas of the carbon of the Mikdash would have to be straight away familiar with. The dogma, I'll give you an example, says the Chofetz Chaim. If all of a sudden the king comes to town, even on the off chance that the king would suddenly rock up in town, we would decorate all the streets in honor of this potential anticipated visit. Even if there were 1,000 streets in the city, we would decorate and clean every street in the city in the possibility that the king would come down that street. And therefore, we hope the Moshiach will come any moment. How embarrassing and what a disgrace it will be if Moshiach all of a sudden comes and we're not familiar with the halachas of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Avodah, of Karbonus. Next paragraph. Maybe I can be done the kafshus I can look at them favorably on Klal Yisrael. They'll say, look, the Kohanim, it's their job. But what about the Kohanim? If they're abandoning the learning of the Avodah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose them to service the Beit HaMikdash. And in any moment, Moshiach could come. He gives a great example. For example, the Gemara says in Erevin Daf Mem Gimel, Ha'oime Hareini Nozeh B'Yoyim Sheben David Bo, Osu B'chol Yoyim Nishtes Yayim. A person says, I am a Nozer on the day the Moshiach comes, says the Gemara, Osu to drink wine every single day. B'nifse Kein La'alocha, because maybe Moshiach will come today. So if I make a neder that I'm going to be a Nozer today, or the day, I mean, the Moshiach will come, so today I can't drink wine, because maybe Moshiach will come today. And it's brought in the halacha, the Rambam in Hilchos Nezirus halacha, a perek dalet halacha yidalet. Moshiach could come at any moment. Next paragraph. V'chein bevada be'is ha'gula. And therefore, the time of the gula, k'she yavru hayom v'yutzruch kol echad lahovi karban toida. Anyone who has traveled, and therefore has got to bring a karban toida, he's traveled over the seas. Ayal chayle sh'nisrape, or a chayle who has recovered. Shemotzu etzel kol adam. That's in every family. There must be people who have traveled, who have recovered from illness. Aichai v'chatoi shemotzu la'alofim sh'ovra achil Shabbos b'shegeg. A person, by mistake, b'shegeg, he violated some Mitzvah of Shabbos, having to bring a carbon chatas. What will happen to all these people? V'yorutzu ha'kol etzel ha'kohanim. Moshiach will come. They'll run to the kohen. She'akruv ba'adam ha'kobonus. They'll say, listen, I'm chai v'karbon chatas. I'm chai v'karbon ta'idah. And the Kohanim will shrug their shoulders and they'll run to the poskim. What do we do? How we makriv the korban? Teach us. And what an embarrassment it will be. Everyone will be confused, not know what the halachas are. We need many weeks and months of preparation for this. And finally, the last paragraph. And time is always a difficulty. There's so little time, there's so much to do. It's always a time pressure in life. And now we live in a time, this is Chofetz Chaim writing, you know, 100 years ago, more, that we, you know, all the simonim, all the signs, like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah there in the end of Sanhedrin, that all the signs appear that we're very close, that the Moshiach could come any moment, and that's 100 years ago. What would he say today? And therefore, concludes the Chofetz Chaim, how important it is to not only hope for the Geula, but to prepare for it. And therefore, this week's parasha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared suddenly to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, and Moshe was ready, but Aaron and Miriam were not, that is an important reminder of what the Chofetz Chaim is saying, that to miss Hashem, Moshiach should come soon and we should be ready. We should be ready. We shouldn't have to sort of shrug our shoulders and turn to other people who may or may not be able to help us. So there we have Parshas Bahalosucha, four, I hope, very beautiful and very interesting ideas. Let me just remind us ourselves of what these four ideas are. The first is from the opening part of the parasha. Dabe el Aaron v'amar to elov Bahalosucha es haneros. Why not? The lashon of hadloka, hadlikoscho es haneros. The answer is, as Rashi says, that we have to light. It's not enough just to light. We have to light and make sure the light shines beautifully and strongly, because the message of the menorah is to be an edus, is to be testimony for the whole world. Shashchina sher b'Yisrael. Our role is to be this godly nation, to be a light unto the nations, and to live with the kiddush Hashem. So it's not enough to just light the candles. We have to light it beautifully and then it should shine brightly and strongly. The second idea that Moshe Rabbeinu struggled with the menorah, Zeh Maisa HaMenorah. What's the Zeh? Because Niskashe Moshe, he found it difficult. And there were two other things which he found difficult. The three things are menorah, shrots, and machodesh. The first letters spell Moshe, the last letters of these three spell Moshe, which teaches us that how you deal with struggles in life really defines us. And that's why the Kelef Hayam, even though he may spend the majority of his time in the water, but he has the status of a land creature because that's where he runs under duress. Amazing insights. And indeed, the very name Yisrael, we are called after the word Vaskisoriso, Menokim Va'anoshim, because you battled with angels and with man and you overcame them. The Ikar is the battle, the Sorisa, not Batucha. That's why we call Yisrael. Then we have Pesach Sheni. Why is it only Pesach gets a second chance, a catch-up? So one was a technical answer because with other Yom Tovim, you could basically do it wherever you were. Blow the shofar, shake the lulav, etc., etc. With Pesach, with the Korban Pesach, you have to be in the area of the Beis HaMikdash to be makriv the Korban Pesach. And the second answer, in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, a very beautiful answer, that Pesach represents our birth. And you can miss certain things in life, but missing your birth is pretty dramatic. It's pretty fatal. But yet, the Chiddush is that however big the deficiency, however big the fatality, there is always a second chance. You can always try and make these things up, however fundamental. And lastly, that's a very important idea. By Yoyma Hashem Pitoim, all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe and Miriam and Aaron, and it was Moshe who was ever ready. Aaron and Miriam were not. The message is, we have to be ready. Teiku, Tishbi, Yataretz, Kushes, Fibois is only for Sfeikas, for things we're not clear about. But things which are clear-cut, Poshet, the Rambams, open Gemaras, Eliyahu Novi doesn't need to teach us that. Says the Chofetz Chaim, we need to be ready. We daven that Moshiach should come, but we should be ready. We shouldn't come and we should be embarrassed. How do we bring this carbon? How do we bring that carbon? Mitzvah Hashem, Moshiach should come and we should be ready. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should see simchas from one another. Thank you for joining. And I wish you a very good rest of the week and a very good Shabbos. Kol Tov. Bye.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.